Welcome to the SWP podcast. I'm Nick Kennedy, Chair of the Workforce Planning Institute. I'm joined today by Sam Yates, who is the founder and CEO of Teamform. Welcome, Sam.
Hey, Nick. Great to see you.
It's good to finally do this. It's been a long time in the making since London and Melbourne SWP conference events last year, so it's good to finally have you in the recording studio to talk about your journey, all things connecting the dots and how Teamform can enable that. So thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, and thanks for having me here, and thanks so much for everything you're doing for this awesome community.
Appreciate it, mate. Thank you. Why don't we sort of start by meeting you and really understanding the backstory behind Teamform. So how did it all come about and how did it become what it is today?
Yeah, so if we roll back a little, I've always loved technology, loved problem solving. I ended up dropping out of school in year 10 to start my first business that was supporting e-commerce websites. 25 years ago now. I guess as that business grew, we got to work with larger and larger businesses. We'd be a very small team of 30, 40, and as we grew over the years, but we'd be working with these enormous companies, where they'd put hundreds of people on a project with us. And I just started to see some of the dysfunction, where we'd put one person on something, they'd put 50 or 20. as a curious, person just wanting to understand the why behind things, it really just drove me to ask sort of basic questions, and just explore, what are the things that were sort of driving, some of these ways of working that we're observing. And so I guess as that business sort of grew and, was given a couple of opportunities to work with some larger organizations, as I sort of kicked off the Teamform journey. And that allowed me to start to solve these problems rather than working in supporting e-commerce, which was a 24/7, not sleeping for 18 years business, where you're on call at every moment of the day, to actually being able to work in and with some of these businesses to really understand how they, functioned, how we could improve, how work gets done, how we could build great teams. That's where I really got to immerse myself in the problem space that we then sort of decided probably about 5 years ago to double down and solve and build a platform around solving some of these systemic issues that we observed. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a journey. I've, this sort of the second startup, so to speak. Love being in a small empowered team where we can move fast and get things done and help our customers.
It's certainly a good feeling when you're nimble and you can move quickly and you're not bound by the shackles of decisions and approvals and all those sort of things. I hear you absolutely. Let's explore the Teamform platform a little more. So what problem does it solve or problems does it solve for organizations?
Yeah, so I guess one of the areas that we, as we were digging into this problem space, what we saw is companies organizing their people and teams around in these new ways, in cross-functional teaming structures. So the formal reporting line it was the old hierarchy, but people work together, either in a structured way or an unstructured way. They work together across the business to get things done. And I guess the challenge that we saw is that wasn't reflected in any system. It's not in the finance system. It's not in the HR system. You might see it in Teams channels or Slack groups, but this primary unit of the modern organization being the team with the right skills and people to get things done is not in any management systems. And so for the last 5 years, since we sort of decided on like focusing on this problem space, I've asked every company I chat to, you know, one question, which is, do you organize, you know, do you have cross-functional teams? Do you have people working together around certain outcomes to get things done in the organization? The answer is always yes. We might have pockets of that, you know, there's call centers and field staff and then, you know, product and technology teams. And so they say yes. And I say, so if I joined tomorrow and I was in one of these teams, where would I see this team that I'm in? Where would I go to see who are the other teams? Who am I working with? Who do I need to go to get things done? And the answer for the last 5 years, probably 95% of the time, is there's a spreadsheet that someone has. There's a Confluence page that's out of date, not connected to the HR system. There's a Miro board, a PowerPoint. And what that tells me is it's not embedded in any of the core management systems. It's not a data point. Even though it's the primary way we're organizing and working, it's actually not a data point that we're respecting and enough to put in, you know, our core systems, either HR or the work management systems, or, you know, and so. Yeah, so that's, I guess, the primary element of what Teamform's doing is, you know, we believe that this unit of team is actually really core if you want to connect the strategy to the work, to the funding that sits behind and backs these teams and the outcomes. We think this unit of team is super central and it's missing. You know, and so that's we want to be the source of truth of those teams, and then keep that in sync across across the tooling ecosystem in our clients, so they can deliver an employee experience that matches the way we talk to people about the employee experience. So it's and once you've connected that data, I guess. You know, there's a lot of talk about capital efficiency. You know, we think it's not in the financial sense. The greatest capital of our organizations is our people, the knowledge, that tribal knowledge of how to get things done, who to go to for what. But we're not unleashing that. We are, you know, we can take a cost view if it's finance. We can take a line management view if it's HR, but we actually need to connect these dots together so we can rally everyone behind, you know, the organization's outcomes. And so, yeah, it's been a great, like, it's been a great journey. We've got the privilege in Australia of working with, you know, 35% of the top 20 listed companies, you know, which is such a privilege to work at scale and be able to have an impact through those. And last year we opened up an office in the UK, which has been great to connect and build our client base over there. And the current focus is launching in the US through the course of this year. So, but Australia's been a great like proving ground. As I travel around the world, you know, I think, there's a lot of things in Australia, you know, quite progressive views in Australia around modern teamwork. And so it's been really good to sort of build and test, you know, the proposition here, you know, as we scale it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly a super, super impressive client list as far as those ASX companies are concerned. I'm really hearing what you're saying, and if I put my org design or even strategic workforce planning hat on in terms of traditionally how things get done, you know, we had the classic org structure, which has, you know, departments, which, you know, might include, you know, particular focuses or particular role types. Then we have workforce segmentation models, which say, okay, well, let's group roles that do functionally similar things theoretically. But neither of those models actually really looks at how work is delivered or where and how work gets done. And I think that's a real missed opportunity for people in this profession, is to really clearly articulate what those teams look like, which I find fascinating. So if I'm using the platform and I've got, you know, that view, what sort of information am I getting from it? How am I using it? How am I physically, what does that user experience look like?
Yeah, so I guess one of the benefits and the actual core reasons for organizing people in this, having a separation between the reporting line and then the way that you organize around outcomes, is it's actually the enabler for true talent mobility. You've got stability in that reporting line of who you go to for career advice, for coaching in your practice and your capability and skill, but you can flexibly move between teams. We want stable teams, that stay together, and it takes 6 months to build just the basic norms and effectiveness within a team. So we want to keep these teams together, but with attrition, with growth, there will always be change. And we'll have new people coming in. You'll swarm around new business priorities. And so, unlocking talent mobility and the ability to move people to the between teams and the work, is a key enabler. One of the other elements is just the number of handoffs required to get a simple thing done in organizations today. I'm sure we've all faced, going through a procurement process, getting an approval for what seems like a simple outcome. In some of the studies, there's a 90%, what's called a 90% wait time when you think of the end-to-end delivery of value of a thing. In many organizations, 90% of that time can be waiting for others. If we can reduce the amount of handoffs between teams by providing that visibility, that's a game changer. Imagine if we could fill in and just reduce the time to value, by having visibility of these handoffs and being able to take action on them and remove these impediments for teams. Some of the other areas, cost is an absolute focus in every business at the moment. But if you're doing restructures based on just the reporting lines, quick, let's get a download from the HR platform, open up in Excel and start to think about an org structure, you're missing that lens of what are these people working on? Mm. What team are they in? That's actually one of the reasons I built, we came together to build Teamform, is we spent years building high performance cross-functional teams only for HR to come in. It was like the rapture. HR would come in, look at a certain division, restructuring a certain division, not realizing that half those people were deployed out into these cross-functional teams with other divisions. If HR, if the business is not empowered with that data, you can make highly impactful in a negative way decisions. Yeah. And so I want to make sure, given the time it takes, the investment it takes to build these great empowered teams that can deliver value, you know, you don't want to blow them up when you're having to rush to save cost or look at the design of organizations. And still today, that's like a fundamental missing piece of in org design is giving the full view and being able to identify in real time the impacts that might have to both the outcomes, the teams, the finances, and so we want to make sure that data model is there, so when that time comes, you can actually make better decisions.
Yeah, so important. If I think back to my time in the corporate space and seeing widespread workforce reductions imposed, and there may or may not have been certain partners with certain benchmarks, that were involved in those projects, and then organizations and entities going back and just re-recruiting because of the realization that all of a sudden we've cut deep with no consideration for where and how work was being done, and lo and behold, that work is no longer being done. So I think that's a really important call out for even org design in general. We don't have to go on down to the negative side of that, which is obviously redundancies and reductions, but understanding how and where it gets done so that org structure can be designed in as a work delivery friendly manner as possible. So you talk about connecting the dots. So perhaps let's sort of cover off some of the other benefits of connecting strategy to the work. So we've talked about how work gets done. What about impacts on people? What do you see at the actual staffing level from being connected to having my work connected to the higher order?
Yeah, I think this is a massive opportunity area. I guess the reality is, I guess Teamform's really solving for two key personas. One is leadership looking top down. Can they click through to see the teams that are delivering against their highest order business outcomes? But that's 1% or 0.5% of the organization population. The massive opportunity that we see is connecting every team member, providing better clarity and connection to the purpose and the outcomes the organization wants to achieve. And as we chat to prospective customers and we interview their teams, for them to draw that connection, they might have joined in a quarterly kickoff where they've heard about the top six goals, but translating that down through the layers to the work they're doing day to day can often be quite a leap. and so if we can do and help our customers better connect their people, both to the teams that are around them that they need to work with to get things done, but provide that sense of connection to purpose, we just think that the ability to achieve better business outcomes where they're calling out impediments and challenges earlier because they're clear on where they're going or what the organization's expecting hoping out of the work, we just think that's the massive opportunity. I know when I'm like I work 10 times, I'm not sure about you, but when I'm in a team, I've got the right people around me. We're clear on what we want to go and solve. I'm 10 times more effective at work. I'm happier at home. it's a great place to be. There's always going to be ups and downs. And so I guess, yeah, we really want to taking that sort of team first view. We want more people to feel that that connection. And how do we scale the impact through that? So
yeah. I'd love to see a world where more staff come to work every day and feel the work they're doing is connected, even if it's via a number of degrees of separation, to the strategic objectives of our organization. So by virtue of doing that, I'm adding value. I'm connected to the purpose. I'm connected to the strategy. You know, you said it yourself, when you're working in an organized team that has a purpose, and when I'm doing meaningful work, and it's got purpose at the forefront, that's when I go home and I'm happier and I'm healthier and I sleep better. If I'm doing something where I'm churning away and I lose that focus around why, I think for me that's when I start to become, you know, a disgruntled worker in my own sort of organization. So I absolutely hear. I think there's so much gold in helping people understand they're part of the why, I guess, to quote, you know, a Simon Sinek or someone.
Mm. And
I think you go.
Yeah, and like I've seen you in that, like in the London event, you're, you know, in your element. You know, we all have those, you know, passion areas connected to the people around us, the communities we're in. How do we get more people enthused, curious, and asking good questions that provide clarity and direction to allow us all to get things done?
Absolutely. Sam, I think every Australian government strategy I've ever seen has a strategic objective in there somewhere, and you could argue whether this should be a strategic objective or not, but it's in most of them. We will build a flexible, agile workforce. It's in there, and so many organizations strive to realize that, and so many fall over. A very few would stick their hand up and say, hey, we did that. We got there. We're flexible, we're agile. I have developed theories over the years that we kind of create this environment where an individual is attached or connected to a role, like a job role and a title and a set of fixed tasks, not necessarily the work they're doing or the projects that they're on or the team that they're a part of. Does this solution have the potential really to break a lot of that down and start to let individuals or support individuals to let go of that sort of classic position description, kind of this is who I am identity type model?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, one of the things going through that question, many organizations are wanting to move to these new ways of working. You know, as you say, it's I read lots of annual reports. This is a key theme. In transformations, like what I've come to believe and understand is that these new ways of working and new operating models, they need to embed in the organization's culture, management systems. Otherwise, it's like a band-aid sticking on top that could be dependent on a single leader or three leaders in a 50,000 person organization, you know, holding the tension on this new way of working. And if they disappear and move on as they do, it is very easy for the organization to snap back to the old ways. And this was a key lesson that I learned through sort of my journey is, and I sort of used the concept of making it stick, you know, where if we're trying to drive change, it's like sort of pushing a boulder up a hill. You know, you'll have wins, you'll have, you know, these great successes in teams that you bring together and outcomes that are achieved. But it needs to stick in the system, and it needs to be, if it's a good change, it needs to embed and go beyond you or, you know, this sort of transformation effort. And so that's where I think, you know, what are those key things? So the way we organize is a really key feature of transformations, of, you know, these ways of working movements. And if it doesn't embed, if it's not in the HR system, if it's not in the finance system, if performance appraisals are done by line management only, if employee engagement surveys are done using data just from the HR system, line management only, you know, the ability to regress, you know, the risk of that of going backwards is great. And so, what are, you know, in these new ways of working, what are the employee experiences, the business processes that need to actually change? They shouldn't work the way they worked for the last 50 years, 10 years, however long. They need to be uplifted. They need to be changed to align around, you know, the way we're working, the way we're operating today. And often they're left, it's the last mile of a transformation. Let's fix those HR processes, you know, when we're there. You know, once we reach that pinnacle of transformation, you know, we'll fix up, you know, the last mile of all those admin processes. And I think it has to be the other way around. You know, you're undermining the success of a transformation by not embedding and showing that this is a real thing, that it's a sticky thing early. I guess that's a really key area of team form is, you know, if we can connect the strategy to the work, to the teams, to the funding that supports it, and make that part of a new operating model and a new way of working, the chances of getting the benefits long term from a transformation are far greater. And the chance of regressing back to old ways, you know, is drastically reduced.
Yeah, absolutely. You're speaking my language, and you know, we're talking strategy, we're talking how work gets done, we're talking thinking differently about transcending traditional org structures. What do you see as the opportunities sort of on the table, both now and into the next few years for our community? What would you like to see them get better at and embrace more of, and what does their next frontier look like?
Yeah, this is an area where I'm super passionate, which is, I think there's, we need to actually challenge ourselves in a couple of ways. As SWP, you know, where we need good data. I want to see that data be not just good workforce data, but connected data between, as I said, strategy, goals, work, the funding model, and the teams. You know, I want to see that come together and made available to the SWP community. But one of the realities is that it, given, you know, it's a smaller but impactful function, it's not actually the primary use case for building great data quality. I think as a community, we need to get better at pushing the business to embed different employee experiences and business processes that will be improving data quality, like, you know, employee experience surveys. How do we show employees data through these other moments where we're where we've got thousands or tens of thousands of people nudging and improving the data quality through the course of the quarterly surveys, you know, quarterly business planning, service management. I think as a community, we need to be encouraging the business to leverage the data that we need in more ways, more frequently, so that we can benefit from it, and then be able to provide great insights and recommendations into the future on what we might need and what the shifts might be. You know, I remember in a number of gigs, client side, the SWP team they'd hit me up in the elevator. They'd drop by the desk. How many product owners do we need in 3 years? The requests always came maybe just after I'd submitted a quarterly plan or after I'd submitted my budget. I want to make sure that data is available. You know, it's not a random elevator conversation. It's the data is readily available at any time to be consumed and for the SWP teams to provide quality insights and recommendations. I think it's a bit of a change in, whenever there's a leadership team conversation on SWP, it's a critical key high level, conversation. And in that moment, the data quality is critical. If someone can poke a hole in it, they can translate back and say, did you get that from Sam in an elevator? Or did that come from our data? It undermines the conversation we want to have. Mm-hmm. And so I think that shift in narrative to really encouraging the business, encouraging our business partners to be using and refreshing and maintaining this data in the course of the day-to-day business will ultimately, improve what we can provide as a community, to the business. That's one of my, I think, sort of key passion areas. I think of this cube of data, this connected cube of data. And, it's not just SWP, it's the property team, it's the, the talent acquisition team. There's a bunch of beneficiaries that could leverage this connected, cube of data if it was available in the organization. And we can all, deliver better outcomes, help our business deliver better outcomes by getting ahead of the game.
Do you think there's an inherent fear of organizations to democratize data, especially when it's people data? I think that's why we don't give more access to more of our leaders, even if they're sort of mid-level leaders in the classic org structure. Is that what might be stopping organizations from really empowering?
I think the more we can bring the data to the team members and experiences to improve, the better the data quality is going to be for people that need to aggregate. I think it just builds on that case. Every team can't build, we need to look after people data. It's the most sensitive data, that organizations can hold. If we've got every team maintaining that data and those controls, we're never going to get the value out of the data. We're going to be so busy protecting and implementing controls for our silo of the use of the data. And so I guess that's why, yeah, really encouraging shared access, controlled and safe access, but, you know, bringing that connected data together and making it available where it needs to be made available.
Absolutely. Hey, you mentioned engagement surveys before, and I love getting the keys to the city to the back end of an engagement survey that's got, you know, really nice segmentation and question aggregation, all those sort of things. But then I see organizations probably, in some cases, not all, go with the high level, you know, hey, this is how enterprise wide we're traveling compared to last year, and this is how we look compared to all these norm groups. And I'm like, oh, but if you dived in over there, you'd see something really insightful, or you'd be able to further inform your absenteeism spike potentially, or you know, provide an indication around whether your workforce is more stressed. Like, there's so much gold in there if we dig and dig and dig. Do you think that's a chronically underutilized and missed opportunity by organizations? Like, do you see that as well, this kind of high level umbrella statement around engagement?
Yeah, I see organizations really taking advantage of it. And I think where the successes are, I feel, is when those results can get back to the people of influence, either the people leader or the leader of the team or the project that person is working on day to day. Back to that sort of organizations are in 90% wait time. This data often can provide super valuable, you know, insights into impediments, things that are getting in the way of getting things done. And if we can get that, there's absolutely a case for systemic impediments and improvements that can happen top down and driven top down, and leadership should lean in. And I see them, you know, customers leaning in and wanting to smash those blockers that when you aggregate across the whole organization. But again, it needs to be top down and bottom up. We need the leaders. Like, why not the day after the survey, you know, if there's team members that are blocked by things that can be addressed, why aren't we getting into that? Why are we waiting 3 months to deliver the results? Or, you know, just imagine the efficiency as well as the engagement that you would drive if leaders can, servant leaders can be sort of leaning in and helping their teams get things done. I just think that's just a massive opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sam, one final one from me. What's the one thing you love most about what you do, the work that you're doing at Teamform?
Yeah, like we are, we're all about that unit of the team. I guess we just want to see millions of people better connected, to the organization's purpose, the delivery of value. Like, that's the thing that, you know, gets me excited, that gets our whole team excited. We've got this great opportunity to work with, you know, fast growing and these very large organizations. And so the ability for us to, you know, what's the one thing we can do that will help, you know, our customers shift that needle 1% more, that's just incredibly exciting. And motivating, you know, for what we're doing. It's what gets me up every day.
Absolutely. Fantastic, mate. Well, great to hear about the US office and obviously the team in the UK. I'm in both of those countries twice this year, so hopefully our diaries align at some point and we can catch up and say hello. Yeah. If not in our own sovereign country. But I really appreciate it. So it's been a fantastic conversation and thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Nick. And really appreciate your support.
Thanks, Sam.